Jesus, this is all about you, and I'm just thankful for what you're doing. And I just want to thank you so much. And Lord, I want you to be honored here, and I want you to have your way, and I want what you want to be said. I want in every way to be cooperative. And Lord, everything you want heard, I ask that each one would make a choice right now that they will be cooperative. And Lord, I thank you for the fruit of this study that we've been doing for a few weeks. I'm just thankful for the fruit I'm seeing in the lives. As I've told you, anytime you want to take me home, I feel like I fulfilled what you want. I know you keep telling me there's more, but I'm so thrilled. I've been looking for this for 34 years that I've been in church, to see the fruit that I'm now seeing in people's lives, the breakthrough. I'm so excited. And I just commit this time into your hands. May your word find residence in our heart. Just residence. And Lord, those that have been taking residence inside of us, may we recognize them and kick them out and fill that room with you. And we say, thank you, Jesus. No more vacancy. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. What are our three goals at Burning Bush? I need three people. Each person is going to tell me one goal. And we're going to stand up and say what it is. Come on, Nate. Let's expound on that and say the whole thing. What's God's name? To know Jesus Christ personally. That's it. It is to know God. But we're not knowing a generic God. And we're not knowing a Islam God or a Muslim God. It's not, okay? We're knowing the real God, the Creator. And His name is Jesus Christ. Okay? Yes, sir. The three goals at Burning Bush, I'm going to give you the hint. You ready? To know, to live, to love. Okay? So that's the three hints. Okay? Yes, you're right. It is a relationship church. I'm glad you know that. That's good. Now, point number one, to know Jesus Christ personally. Point number two, somebody stand up and tell me. What is it?
To live victoriously with Jesus, and I put all the time on the end of it.
To live victoriously every day by hanging out with Jesus. This is the goal of this church. This isn't a social club. This isn't to be part of a Christian network that plays softball or goes bowling. If we do that, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's not the goal of this church. The goal of this church is to know Jesus Christ personally. When you bring people here, that's our goal. And when you go out from here, I'm hoping that God makes that your goal. It's for you to know Him. And because when you know Him, you're going to want to tell others about Him. So number one, to know Jesus Christ personally. Number two, to live victoriously daily by hanging out with Jesus. To live victoriously daily. Tons of people go to church and they do not live victorious. Many and most, quote, Christians that I've met since being born again, at best, live a roller coaster life. You ever done that? Is that fun? No? Okay, that was the answer. Oh yeah, I just thought I'd tell you. Huh? The highs are good? How about the lows? Does that make up for the... No, it doesn't even out, does it? And then point number three. What's point number three? Stand up there, little Glennie. There you go. That's our goal. It's to love others to Jesus. I was in a church somewhere or something. God had me give money. I said, who would like this? Whatever it was, $20 bill, $100 bill. They came and took it. Everybody's just looking at me. Finally, somebody realized I meant it. And they got up out of the congregation, came forward, and I handed it to them. Told them I didn't want it back. I said, now, to the rest of you, he just got $100. If he goes to hell, did that $100 help him? Do you understand? I win the lottery, and I go to hell. Does that help me, that I won the lottery?
No.
Do you get it? Do you get what I'm saying? Do you know the goodness of God leads a person to repentance? I was talking, giving somebody my testimony this week, part of my testimony, or talking about it, and it hit me that the goodness of God leads a person to repentance. As a drug dealer, God let me make so much money that I was talking to somebody, he was my age, when I was making $2,000 to $5,000 a week. He was 19 years old. I don't remember who it was, but I was talking to somebody. They were 19 years of age. And I said, when I was your age, it hit me while I was talking to them. I was making $2,000 to $5,000 a week, had anything I wanted, went anywhere I wanted, did anything I wanted. And I was completely empty inside. God let me get everything I want, and it wasn't what I needed. Do you understand? It did not give me what I really wanted down in here. It just gave me what I thought I wanted, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Are you with me?
Yes.
Do you know what fills? Jesus. If your life was a puzzle, the missing piece is Jesus. When you get Jesus in there, it's like He completes your puzzle. Nothing else completes you. As a matter of fact, it says that in Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And now you are complete in Him. Somebody just go ahead and get excited. Anyway, so the three goals. Yes, sir? Please.
I'm coming up there.
I'll come up to a park. Okay? Or we'll now come to a park.
Figure I'll let you get going for a minute.
Go ahead.
That's all you got? I'm just joking.
Wait till you see how long I know.
You don't even you don't even need one of these normally.
You see how now you just watch. I don't need an outline, do you understand? Go ahead.
We were worshiping, I was just sensing give me a second back there.
You are forgiven.
That was my Cecil impersonation.
Yes.
We were worshiping, and I was just like, I don't know. I was just sensing, like, there's, like, what Harvey needs to preach, we really need to get this. Like, we need to get this. We need to be open to what God has. And I was just sensing that there's, I know for myself, I was sensing there's a lot of people that have a lot of things on their mind, whether it's situations, and I've just been talking to people, and there's just all this stuff going on. I just look around, and God's like, I just told you that. Like, look around. I look around, and I'm like, oh, I'm just seeing all this stuff. And I just lost my place. Yeah. So you ever come to church and it's like you come here and you want to receive, but there's so much on your mind you can't get anything out of it? Anybody? Yeah, right. And that's exactly what I was thinking. And I was like, okay, maybe not. And I'm like, Harvey needs to preach. And I'm like, we got to get this. So we need to get clear of everything. And I love this new fan. Keeps it blowing. Here we go. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all that ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And I feel like God is like, we need to ask right now, like, God, whatever it is, like, me and Hannah are in the process of buying a house, and we got a baby on the way, and I was hanging out with some friends yesterday, and I went over to his house, and he has a guy living with him I hadn't met. And I walk in, and I'm like, hey, what's up? And we walk through the room, and I come back through, and he's just like, hey, you walked in, and I felt like God said, like, just to trust in him, like, put all your expectation, all your cares on him, because he's going to, don't have any worries. And I was like, oh, we got this house situation, and et cetera, et cetera. And he's like, no, I just felt like that. You just need to trust in him. I'm like, oh, sweet. And I just feel like right now, like, should I put it? You know, we always talk about public confession, public power. And it's not just confession of, oh, I've done this wrong. But I think there's power in saying, okay, I've been worrying about this, I've been doing this, I've been doing that, and just speaking it out. I've known, like, the devil before, I've like, sinned or done this, and years later, I just share it with somebody, and you literally feel that burden go off you. And nobody has to do anything. I can go sit back down, and we can go on preaching and all that, but, like, I just feel like you don't even need the mic. Just say out, like, I've been worrying about this. This is what's on my plate, and God, I want to give it to you. Because it says, you know, verse 30 says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And so many times, like, we read that verse, and I hear people preach, and it's like, you should not worry about anything. You shouldn't do anything at all, and blah, blah, blah. But it says Jesus does have a yoke, but it is easy. So it's taking on his yoke and trusting in him. So, yeah, I have not been trusting him, and I've been sort of worrying about this house. We've got a baby, and how's this and that going to work? So that's what I've been worrying about and thinking about, and I give it to God. So there we are.
Anybody else have stuff that they're full of? Yes, sir?
I put my application in to the trailer park to move in with Rick. And usually, I've been approved 3 times, and usually you hear in 24 hours, and it's going on a week, and I haven't heard anything, and my rent from where I live is coming up, and I'm in a strained and stressed position. I can't pack and get everything down. It's just worrying the heck out of me. And then also, you know, so I'm praying to God for tomorrow to get a call and get the answer so I can go ahead and make progress. And also I've been trying to love my mother and be her friend and I pray for her every day for the Lord to lift her up and give her a new heart, open her eyes, let her see through God's eyes and take her troubles and stresses away and let us be friends. And she called me the other day because she found out I was talking to my real father and just screamed and said, oh my God, it was the worst wake up I've ever had in my life. And I almost wanted to commit suicide. I almost had a heart attack. I went to the hospital. She stressed me out that bad. And I'm just getting over it. I got over it last night. And I prayed and prayed every minute after that happened. And now I've just got to put that away and give it to God. And my situation, if I can move in with Brother Rick, it will help me financially, emotionally, spiritually, get away from a bad environment I'm living in and crazy people that are around me. And I've been there 5 years to the day, and I'm tired of it, and it's just a stress. It stresses me out every day. To move in with Brother Rick would be such a blessing and miracle, and I want that out of my mind right now so I can focus on what Pastor Harvey has to say. So thank you.
Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. I can't see your hand. You'll have to jump up.
I've been worrying about the house, like David said, and eat the mic. Okay. I've been worrying about the house and the baby and everything because I'm due in 2.5 months and we're not in the house. We haven't closed, whatever. So I've been worrying about the house. I've been worrying about the baby and baby shower, all that stuff. And then God's put a lot of different friends in my life that I'm ministering to, and a lot of times I don't know what to say, and it's like, God, why aren't they getting it? Why aren't they choosing you? Why aren't they choosing this? Like, I'm saying what you want me to say. Why aren't they just getting it? And it's kind of like, okay, but, like, it's a process of loving them to Jesus, not just like, bam, I say something that Jesus wants me to say, and they're going to come to know Christ immediately. Like, so I'm being patient with that, and, like, he's grieving my heart over those people, and that's just kind of stressful, and the whole packing process, and then pregnancy, and, yeah, I'm kind of worried and stressed out a little bit, but it's good. Jesus was like, in worship, he was like, I've got this. You need to just trust me. Just trust me. It's that simple. Just trust me with this. I've got this. Like, how great am I, like, in this situation about the house? Like, I'm greater than this situation. I'm greater than this situation with this friend that I've been talking to for forever. It's like, he's got it. So, I'm ready.
Awesome. I want to be telling everybody thanks for your prayers, because I've had a lot of stuff going on. But in the middle of it, I know that God is God. I just got a new job and just found out they're laying people off. I'm at the bottom of the totem pole. I found out also that they've increased my schedule and they're laying people off that aren't doing their jobs. And in the middle of cutbacks, I'm being blessed, and I'm just awed by what God's doing. He's just so great.
Just wanted to share it.
Awesome. Anybody else? Okay, you ever go to the movies and they do those things at the beginning? What do they call them? Previews? Coming attractions? Coming attraction to Burning Bush. We've got a message coming that God's been stirring in me about how do you even come to church, or how do you start your day? I can't wait to tell you that. I can't wait. If you only knew what Sue and I have to share with you, and God keeps saying, we have to do this. When they get this, then we can give them that. And I'm like, come on! It's like, and I'm like, I can't even relate. Will they get it? When are they going to get it? It's like, I'm just so excited because y'all are getting it. See, you're going through hard stuff, and I'm glad. I'm sorry. I'm glad. Because you know what it's doing? Because you're coming here. See, if you weren't coming here and you weren't getting some tools that you're getting here, number one, as I've told some people, like Nate, he called me up and like, man, everything's so hard. And it's like, I can't think at night. I mean, all I could do is think at night. I can't sleep. Or Spencer calls me, you know, to tell me he's read his Bible. And God pokes a hole in my balloon and wants to say stuff to him, and pretty soon he goes, I'm toast, I'm done, I'm full, and then he doesn't even call me for 3 or 4 days because he's trying to process what I gave him, you know? The same with Gary, little Jason, they just do this, you know? Now, what I'm saying is, I've told some people, if you want your life to be easier, quit coming to Burning Bush, because then you can go to other places and just be petted right where you're at. It's okay. Just live in your sin. Live at this low level. No problem. You could do that. But you see, you are awesome people. I thank God for you. Because you, to me, God has called you. And God has got a plan for you. And pretty soon, y'all are even going to believe what we said. That God has a plan for you. You are called to be a minister. You are called to be a minister. That's why God had you come here. You were getting stuff that you don't get other places. I went to Bible college for 9 years and didn't get this stuff. I didn't even get the basics of this stuff. 9 years. I made straight A's. Dude, it's like, okay, something's missing here. And God's like, maybe I am. But anyway, I think you experienced them here. And God's doing something. See, God's bringing your stuff to the surface. It's already there. He made me mad. No, He didn't make you mad. He touched your button because mad's down inside of you.
That's right.
And God just said, hey, you made the mistake of hanging around Harv. And you prayed all these dangerous prayers. I want you, God. And He says, so what do you think that looks like? You think I'm just going to come in and, like a little fairy, and just bless you? Oh, it's like I'm going to wave the magic cross over you, and it just goes like that. It doesn't happen like that. It's about character development. That's why all of you are characters. Now he's going to develop you. Okay? And the, I'm sorry. Did I not make it clear? Do you need it in single syllable words? Nate, get it. Okay? I can't wait. I'm serious. Do you know there is a way to come to church and most people don't even know it? Would you like a clue? This is for the advance. Would you like a clue? Acts 17:11. I'm not going to tell you any more than that. You go get it from God. That's where I got it. I didn't get this out of a book. Well, it was a different book. It wasn't a comic book. It was God's book. It was the book. The only book. Acts 17:11. Look at it later. Now, pay attention to purpose, okay? Three goals of Bertie Bush. Know, live, love. Know Jesus, live Jesus, love Jesus. It's just, I mean, look, it's that simple. Except for Nate. It's know Jesus Christ personally. It's live victoriously daily by hanging out with Jesus. And it's love others to Jesus. Okay, little lady?
I want to add something.
Okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to add, and be responsible for yourself in Jesus.
Okay.
Worry about you.
Okay. Only three. Okay, that goes under the three, okay? Fit it in there somewhere. Number two, I think. Okay, that was under number two. Okay. Number two, anybody got homework? I'm sorry, are you going to school? Are you here? Are you going to school? Okay, do you want a passing grade or do you want to pay for this course again? I'm asking you. Have you ever gone to school where you had to pay for it? When I was going to school, even elementary school, I used to have to pay for it. They used to give spankings back then, you know? And then they decided, no, we're developing too much character. Let's quit spanking them. Okay? No, serious. Have you ever gone to school where you had to pay for it? Have you ever taken a class of any kind where you had to pay for it? Would you rather us charge you? Because I'm telling you, there's homework. And it's not an option. You're going to pass this class, you're going to do the homework. Otherwise, I'm going to hear you say, why does he keep repeating himself? And the answer is because you didn't get it yet. Because faith is an action word. It's doing something with what you hear. Do you hear me? Okay. Did you do your homework? Who did homework? Any of the homework? Yes, what did you do? That is awesome. That is awesome. I am glad. Worked on the outline and got through the first five. Okay. Anybody else do homework? I know some of you did that aren't raising your hands. Yes. You memorized James 1:22. I'd like to hear it.
But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves.
Awesome. Now, did you just memorize the word? Or did it start doing something in you? You see, I'm just telling you, it's seed. It's going to bring forth God life in you. You said that's what you wanted. I'm just giving you little keys that will help you to get God life blooming all over you. Okay? Because we don't like the devil life or the devil death on us, do we? Okay? So who else did homework? I know some people did. Okay, little Tana, what did you do? Yep. Good. That's good. That's good. Now, I know what wasn't fun when you were going. Now, no chasing for the present seems to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So, are you? Was there some good that came from it? Are you glad inside, even if you can't explain it? Awesome. Awesome. Who else did homework? Awesome. Awesome. That's what Gary and Spencer said. They said, do you know what your name is? I said, what is it? They said, we're going to start calling you Pastor Challenge. Okay? It's not Pastor Harvey anymore. It's Pastor Challenge. Said, the only time you open your mouth is challenges. I said, I can't help it. I don't know how to do it different. Anybody else did homework? Okay, homework, you want to write it down? You ready? Number one, learn what the three goals are at Burning Bush. Number two, remember last week's teaching? Look at it, study it further, pray over it. See, it's not just something we get 1 week. It needs to become, we need to assimilate it. What's the word I'm looking for? We need to internalize it. Thank you. That's what we need to do. Is it needs to become part of us. Not just coming here. See, I know how. I went around the country. I know how to impress you. I could come up with alliterated outlines. I could stay within a time limit. One time I got up and they told me I had 15 minutes. I turned it over in 14 minutes. I said, God, how could I do 15 minutes? He said, you're going to. I said, okay. In 14 minutes, I was done. I was the first preacher at a preacher's fellowship, and there was a whole bunch of them, and they were going to let multiple preachers preach. And they said, 15 minutes. And I'm like, and then he said, Brother Harvey, this was down in Austin, Texas. And he goes, Brother Harvey, you come and preach first. I went, 15 minutes, Lord. And it's like, I'm the first one. I'm setting the pace. And God, and how do I do 15 minutes? I can't even do 15 minutes when I give my testimony. And he's like, you will. And I got up and I preached it. I think it was 14 minutes. Yes, sir. No. But I, you know, there's, you can do anything once. You know what I mean? You can do anything once. I don't know what to do with that. But anyway, the point is that we need to internalize what we're hearing. It's not about being impressed. It's not about getting up and everybody clap for us and wasn't that nice. Let's go home and talk about how great the preacher is. Who cares? We're all sinners that need Jesus. Let's talk about how great Jesus is. Let's experience the life of Jesus because I need Him in every part of my day. That's what Hannah said. I've got all these cares and burdens and I can't carry them. I'm sorry, I'm going to come back to the homework in just a second, but I need to tell you this because y'all were talking about being burdened and stressed. Are you ready? Are you burdened or stressed? I wrote this down. Are you burdened or stressed? Then you're trying to do it. You need to write that down. Am I burdened or stressed? It's because I'm trying to do it. But I got this situation. Is it too big for Jesus? Do we need to call in the big guns? I mean, it's too big for Jesus. I want you to get this. God has me say this to people every day on the phone, people I don't even know. Because everybody, for some reason, God is like opening my little peepers, and every day, people talk about what they're full of. They call to talk to me about a tub, and somehow God gets loose. And part of the way God gets loose is because when people call me, they're full of matter. Okay? With them, it's a baby in a house. With Dave, it's his mom and his dad. And his dad he hadn't seen or heard from in 35 years or something when his mom took him away. And then he calls and talks to his dad recently and his dad's loving him and everything. And then but his dad, caring for his son, who he hadn't talked to in 35 years, because his ex-wife took him away. His dad, caring about Dave and the way, because Dave was sharing what's going on in his life, talking about how his mom, this guy's ex-wife, hurts him and blah, blah, blah. So his dad, trying to help his son, is a cause person like me. So his dad gets filled up with caring about his son. So his dad calls his ex-wife and tries to straighten her out. And instead, she lies and says stuff and defames him and starts telling all his sin from the past and twists it and stuff so it comes out sounding the way she wants it to sound. Do you understand? So then his dad, who's like begging him to come, "You're welcome at our home anytime." After his ex gets off the phone, he won't even answer Dave's call. Is Dave carrying a burden? Hey, can I ask you a question? Is this your family? Does it not say Galatians 6, 1 and 2, verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ"? When you're hearing somebody say these things, we need to be praying for them. We need to be lifting them up. But let me give you a thought that God has me share with strangers every single day. Since you're my close friends, I would like to tell you, because it will help you. Are you ready? If you get this, you will never be the same. Every time I say it's a key, if you get it, I promise you will never be the same. It is a slice of heaven. It is a slice of life. It is a golden nugget, as Glenn calls it. It is a piece of God that if you get, I'm not kidding you, if you get it, it will be life to your flesh and health to your navel and life to your flesh, or however it says in Proverbs. It will change your life dramatically if you never get anything else. That one little thing. And God's given me so many keys, I can't even carry them all. On a keychain. I just have to have them inside. You ready? Here's the key. God did not design you to carry it, Hannah. God designed you to be carried. He wants you to give it to Him and then let Him take care of it. And then He wants to just carry you next to His heart. God did not design you to carry it. Whatever it is. You could fill in the blank. God did not design you to carry and put the blank. Your problems, your needs, your pain. Whatever it is. God did not design you to carry it. He designed you to be carried. He wants you to give it to Him and let Him do it for you. You want some verses? 1 Peter 5:7. "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Another one. Romans 8:31. "If God be for us, who could be against us?" There's more, but I'm just giving you a little. By the way, if I ever ask you a question or challenge you on something and say, "You need to go search this out, you need to go read it, you need it," or I challenge you with a thought, you know, like when I open my mouth. If you don't know the answer, or you don't know where to go in the Scripture, or I give you a couple verses and you're going, "I don't know how to find other verses." What I learned a long time ago is if somebody challenges me, it's because they have an answer that I don't have. So what I do is afterwards, I'm sitting out here like you, because I've done this, and there's somebody up front and they're preaching, and they're challenging me. Afterwards, I go up to them. I want more. See, I don't just want what everybody's getting. I need more. Do you understand? How do I get this? What's the answer? What verses? What other verses? How do I find those other verses? How do I cross-reference? Can you please tell me? What's the answer? I know what I know, but I don't know what you know. So would you tell me what you know? You got it? Very few of you ever come and ask me. You just get challenged and get intimidated by Harv. I'm not here to intimidate you. Don't you understand I love you? Don't you understand that you are... Okay, there's Jesus, and there's Sue, and there's my kids, of course, but don't you understand I live for you? Don't you understand that you are my life? Do you not understand that? Do you not understand a few months back, God said to me, Harvey, you know all those things I've been telling you for over 30 years about preaching all over the world and reaching millions of people? And I go, yeah. He said, would you be willing to lay all that down and just stay here the rest of your life and invest your life, all of your life, into these people? Now, God doesn't ask a question for nothing. Do you understand? And people call me and ask me to come preach and do meetings and all that stuff. And it's like, God, is that what you want me to do? You can do it if you want. No. No. It's not my life anymore. Do you understand? You read it. Paul said the same thing. He laid his life down for the people that God had for him. Do you understand? Do you understand? Because that's what God is going to call you to do. Is lay, greater love hath no man than this, than that he lay down his life for his friends. And Hannah, that includes people that you may be their friend, but they're not your friend. Do you know what I'm saying? Because, see, he's wanting to Jesus them through you. You are Jesus to them. You're the only God representative they have. They don't read the Bible, they don't go to church, and they don't want anything to do with Christianity. But there's something different about her, and they want to think you're a good person and all that. It's just Jesus and you getting loose. God is trying to Jesus people through you. You're the only representative. You're the only chance they have to experience Jesus. Do you understand? You are what they think God is like. Do you understand? Our choices affect so many people. They never just affect ourselves. Never. If you are burdened or stressed, then you're trying to do it. So, Harv, like you learned that a long time ago? Yeah, about a week ago. I mean, like, I've learned this stuff, but then he's going like, Harv, I go, yeah? He goes, you're burdened or stressed? Yeah. He says, that means you must be doing it. He said, do you think it burdens or stresses me? Now, picture this. Did Jesus get up from the dead? I'm sorry. Just don't get excited. It's only church. You're only going to live forever. Okay. I'm sorry. Did he say that? Okay. Are you ready? Y'all are going to be ruined. You can't go to another church. You'd be ruined. You know, you go there. It's like, this is boring. The guy just says the same thing. He's like, oh, just milk toast, you know? It's like, you ready? Are you ready? Did Jesus get up from the dead?
Yes.
So, like, what couldn't he do? The house is too big for him. He doesn't know what to do with a baby, you know. He doesn't know what to do with a mom and dad. He's probably never dealt with one before. I mean, I'm trying to be facetious for a reason. We think it's too big. And it is. Remember the little saying? This is a job for Jesus. Right? That's what we're supposed to do, is let Him live. Remember Colossians 1:21, 1:27? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yes, sir.
while I was praying this morning, and I was saying to myself, well, how big is Jesus? And it came to me, this old TV show that we used to watch. It was called The Land of the Giants. And we're about this big, and everything in the kingdom is so much bigger.
Would you like to know how God challenged me this week with a question? This isn't for you. You won't like this question. I'll challenge you with what he said to me this week. He said, Harvey, are you willing to see how small you really are so that you can experience how big I am? Romans chapter 5, verses 5 through 8, please. Romans chapter 5, 5 through 8. Ready? Did I say Romans? I meant 1 Corinthians. I wrote wrong one. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Is that where I want to be? Nope. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 through 8. I was in the right place. I just said wrote the wrong chapter. Romans 8, 5 through 8. Nope, I'm Harvey. Okay, now, did I write the wrong reference or not?
No, you got it right.
No, I didn't. Romans 8.
Oh, sorry.
See? I wrote it wrong. Okay, you ready? I'm going to fix it. Just needs a line. You ready? Romans 8, 5 through 8. Are you there? For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They think about the things of the flesh. But they that are after the capital S Holy Spirit, they think about the things of the Holy Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity or an enemy of God. It's against God. For it is not subject or submissive to the law of God. And neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Chapter 7, verse 21. I find in a law, are you there? 7:21. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. When I would do God, devil is present with me. He doesn't want God to get loose. So he's there trying to distract you and yell and give you alternatives. Anything but Christ. Remember? ABC. Anything but Christ. Our version of God is anything but Christ. Because it's a perversion. Because we've touched it. You understand? That's why obedience is instant. Obedience is doing what you're told, when you're told, with the right attitude. Any of those three things missing, it's not obedience. It's disobedience. Or slow obedience, which is disobedience. Do you hear me? That's why when God, another key, when God tells you something, when you have a thought, I ought to wash the dishes. It didn't come from the devil. I know it sounds like it came from the devil. Okay? That must be of the devil. Dishes, cleaning, work. That's a four-letter word. It's bad, bad, bad. Listen to me. You have a thought. You ought to take out the trash. If you start thinking about it, you've already disobeyed. When you have a thought and you know it's true, yeah, I should do it. How many times have you said, You know, at the end of the day, you know, I knew I should have done such and such. Or during the day, how many times? I know I should, but video game. I know I should, but feed Miss Flesh. I know I should, but let's go do anything but Christ. Instant obedience. That's what we need to teach our kids. See, when my dad said, Harvey, if I was laying on the floor, I watched my friends do this. They laying on the floor, watch a TV. We used to watch Beverly Hillbillies and, you know, all the good stuff. Okay? Gomer Pyle. Shazam! You know? And what was that other one he used to say? Golly! You know? And Sergeant Carter. You know? So they'd be laying on the floor. I can think of the kids. I won't say their names. And the mom would tell him to do something. So-and-so, you need to take out the trash. Okay, Mom. At a commercial, when the program's over, when it's convenient, when I feel like it. I mean, they don't say those words, but we've said, you know, on a commercial, when the TV's done, whatever. My dad, if he said, Harvey, okay, he didn't just want me to jump. He wanted me to jump and say, now. And if I didn't, there was immediate repercussions. One time, one of my daughters said, we were at her house, Sue and I were sitting there, and she says to one of my grandkids, if you do that one more time, now she's already said this about 14 times, okay? I'm telling you. Okay? And finally she said, if I have to tell you one more time, and I, in the spirit of course, said, yeah, if she has to tell you 40 more times, she's going to stand up. In other words, she's still not going to do anything. She's just going to stand up and give you the look. And when I said that, she said to me, Dad, how did you get us to obey? Can we turn that fan back on? Dude, was it too loud or something? I'm sorry. Say what? Oh, okay. When other people... Okay. She said, Dad, how did you get us to obey the first time? I said, because if you didn't, there was immediate repercussions. Let's go in the bedroom, have us a board meeting. You know, Dad, I don't want to. I said, when I'm done, you will. I'm not saying go beat your kids. What I'm saying, that's for anybody that's listening on the internet or whatever, okay? I'm saying that if we are going to walk with God, we need to do what He tells us to do. He's not making a suggestion. He's not giving us a smorgasbord to choose from. My wife, you know, is doing that game, designing that game with my daughter. Do you know about that? It is incredible. It is so anointed. And my wife just loves doing it, and it challenges her creativity and all that stuff, right? So this week, she was like looking forward to getting on the game. And God says, Sue, before you do the game, I want you to go do Harvey's laundry. See, when she does my laundry, it feels like Christmas. My drawers are full. I always feel like it's Christmas. As a matter of fact, I yell, it's Christmas! When I open the drawer, I get excited just over a full drawer of clean laundry. I wouldn't like a full drawer of dirty laundry, but I do like a full drawer of clean laundry. He said, before you can go play doing this, and if you knew, I'm saying that facetiously, because it's a lot of work, what she's doing. But for her, it's like play because she wants to do it. You know what I'm saying, Roxanne? So, He says, before you play, I want you to go and do the laundry. And I want you to go and do the dishes. And I want you to clean the laundry room. God, I've been putting that off. I know, Sue. Do you feel good about it? No. I'm going to help you feel good about it. Before I will anoint or bless or allow you to go play, little Susie, designing this game that you love to do and spend all hours. She was up till 3 in the morning doing it with my daughter this morning. Okay? Before you go get to play, we're going to do our chores. You've been putting it off. You don't feel good about it. You know, Harvey has to keep wearing dirty stuff. And this is not cool. Because I love him too. Okay? And she felt good about it. She said, you know, it only took me an hour. And then I had freedom the rest of the day. I felt good about what I did. Then I don't have to feel guilty and sit there and keep feeling like a worm because I'm wasting my life with a one-eyed monster, you know? You understand? Because I accomplished what needed to be accomplished first. Do you hear me, Nathan? Do you hear me, Shayla? Because I know your mom hears me. Okay? Now, Romans 7:21. When I would do good, evil is present with me. But I like the way he gave it to me. When I would do God, devil is present with me. Now, who are you going to choose? God or ABC? Anything but Christ. Because anything but what he says is not Jesus. People tell me, oh, I'm doing this for God. And I'm like, inside, God's like, nope, they're not doing it for me. They're doing it for them. They're just putting my name on it so they can feel good about it. But they don't feel good about it because it ain't really me. It's not what I said. Now, Romans 6:16. Are you there? Because you're in chapter 7, so chapter 6 is real close. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? You see, we get to choose who we're going to serve. God gives us that right. We get to choose who we're going to serve. Okay? But if you choose the devil, if you choose anything but Christ, you say, well, I don't choose the devil. Anything but Christ is choosing the devil. Okay? Disobedience or obedience. Do you understand? Are you with me? If it's disobedience, you got to realize when the devil comes, when we allow him in, because we make a choice to agree with him, he doesn't have your best interests at heart. And he's going to take you further than you wanted to go. It's going to cost you more than you wanted to pay. And let's see. Sin will take you further than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and keep you longer than you want to stay. Okay? It will cost you. He doesn't have your best interests at heart. He's going to hurt you. He hates your guts. John 10:10. He hates your guts. Because you are letting God. You're choosing God. So he's trying to do everything he can. When I would do God, devil was present. And so he hates your guts because you're even making a choice. See, most people aren't even making that choice. They're just doing anything but Christ. But the ones that are choosing Christ, those are the ones that have the battle. The other ones, he's just beating their life up, destroying them, killing them, just taking away their innocence, defiling their mind. They're living. They're not even living. They're existing. You understand? Are you with me? Now, you have this. I want you to turn to it. We're going to look at the verses in there, okay? Are we going to do that, Lord? No, before we look at the verses, I want to look at the verses real bad. But I want to go over these words, and the reason I want to go over these words is to find out if you understand them, and find out if you got questions. Because, like, for example, I was talking to somebody this week. His initials are Dudley, and we were talking on point number five. Look at point number five. And I'm not going to pick on Dudley because he's kind of like Rebecca. He's kind of more of a quiet, shy person, you know. And so just pretend you don't know I had talked to him. Look at point number five. Realize, see, I updated it so you may not have all these words. Realize that we partnered with devilish spirits. Now, here's what I told Dudley this week. He said, how did I partner with them? How did I invite them in? And here's the words I added. When they made a suggestion of how to respond in a given situation, we agreed with them. Thereby, we invited them in and gave them permission and license to live in us. And according to, what is that, James 1:13-15, we then were intimate with these devils and conceived sin together. We were intimate with them, and by having relationship with them, sin was birthed in and through our lives. So let's back up. Point number five. Realize we partnered with devilish spirits. When they made a suggestion of how to respond in a given situation, somebody's yelling at you, why don't you just yell back at them? Somebody's yelling at you, why don't you become hard and cold and I don't care? Somebody's yelling at you, why don't you punch them in the nose? That'll fix their wagon. I've heard that before. I did it. A long time ago, but I did it. It's not like something I did this week. It's not like I'm confessing this week. You know? Are you with me? We realized that we partnered. We need to realize that we partnered with devilish spirits. When they made a suggestion of how to respond in a given situation. Somebody's hurting me. How do I respond? Somebody's yelling at me. How do I respond? Somebody's taking advantage of me. How do I respond? Somebody's taking authority over me, and I in rebellion. I don't want, you know, I don't want somebody taking authority on me. Who wants to be under authority? You know what I'm saying? Oh, please, please. Could I just have everybody tell me what to do? It's like when I go on the phone and women say, you know, I'll call a number and they'll say, you know, I'm calling the company and they'll say, can I have your name, sir? I said, no, I've already given it to one woman. I couldn't handle two of you. Okay. I said, I can loan you my name, but I can't give it to you. Yeah. I say things to make people think. Most people say words, they don't realize what they're saying. You know? Hi, how are you? Do you really want to know? Do you care? No. It's just words I say to people. I don't mean it. Why do you say them? Are you with me? We realize we partner. We need to realize that we partnered with devilish spirits when they made a suggestion to us of how to respond in a given situation. We agreed with them. By doing this, we invited them in. We gave them permission and license to come live in and through us. It's now their home. We are now letting them live in and through us. Now, as a Christian, an Antichrist spirit cannot live inside you because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. I want you to understand this because somebody asked me. A born-again Christian, a born-again Christian, I call them, cannot have a devil living inside of them. But a born again Christ, but see, people that are not born again, by all means, have devils living inside of them. You read many accounts of it in the Scripture, and you meet them all the time. You wonder, how could somebody be like that? How could somebody act like that? Have you seen the coldness in their eyes? There's no life in their eyes. Have you ever said that? You ever seen that? You're right. No life. What you see is death. Guess what spirit that is? I'm sorry. But when you're born again, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And you cannot be possessed, but you could be controlled, influenced. Only because you give them that power. The only power a devil has is to make a suggestion to you, to give you a thought. You get to choose whether you're going to obey that or follow that or not. Why do I keep saying this over and over again? Because many of you don't know how to deal with sin. Many of you live under a defeated life. Feel like you're a worm. You got your tail between your legs. I look at you and you're afraid to make eye contact with me. I'm just a little guy that Jesus scraped out of the gutter. Washed clean His precious blood. You can't stand up to me. How are you going to stand up to God? I live in such a way because He's taught me. And I know this is what you want. That's why I'm talking about it. I live in such a way that I can look God eyeball to eyeball 24/7. That's how I live. I don't like live in sin and then, I'm so tired of carrying it. Here God, would you take it? And that's how many of you live. You live in defeat. You don't live in victory. The reason you need to this week, homework, this week, I don't want you to go forward without this. You got 19 points. I want you to do what I'm getting ready to tell you. I want you to take these 19 points every single day. I don't care if you read your 3 chapters or not. If you read your 3 chapters, I wish you would. You're only going to get more. That's for the advanced. But whether you read the 3 chapters or not, there are verses on every point. I want you to read these verses every single day. Homework number 2. I want you to take 1 point at a time. I need to admit... point number 1. We have to be willing to see our sin and the spirits we partnered with. And then there's a prayer, which is not on this one. And it says, am I willing to see my sin? I want you to do that this week, point number 1. Now, if you've already got that, and you're more advanced, you've already done that, and it's not hard. See, if you can't even answer that, it's because you're in rebellion, it's because you're a rebel. I'm just trying to be honest. I'm sorry. Let me just get honest. It's because you're a rebel. Am I willing to see my sin? And I know every one of you wants to see your sin. But see, right now, you're afraid to see your sin because you think if I see my sin, oh no, I'm a worm. Oh no, God's not happy with me. Oh no, I'm terrible. Oh no, I'm afraid for them to see it. I'm afraid for God to see it. See, what you are is you're a little Hudson. I go over to my daughter's house in Little Hudson. I say, I'm going to get you. Hold this. And Hudson goes, you can't see me. He covers his eyes and thinks I can't see him because he can't see me. How old is Hudson? 2? Something like that. That means if you do that, spiritually, you are 2 years old. You still need your diapers changed. You still need to have a mommy and daddy. You still need a little spanking. You still need to take a nap. Do you understand? I'm not saying this to hurt you. I'm trying to challenge you and help you understand. You don't have to live there. You could grow up. This is so simple. When you get this, there's so much more we want to give you. But when you get this, you're going to live in such freedom and such victory. I'm telling you, most people, most Christians don't even know this. And it's so simple. But the devil doesn't want you to get it. Number one, am I willing to see my sin? That's what you're going to do for homework. And the answer is yes. I just thought I'd tell you. It's an open book test. I'm giving you the answers. You can write them down. I'll even let you take your notes when you take the test. Remember, there's a test at the end. It's called your life. Am I willing to see my sin? Yes! Point number two. See how fast we're moving through this? We need God to reveal this sin in the Spirit so that we see them through His eyes and feel and think about it the way He does. I've got updated. I just don't have it printed off yet. Has God revealed this sin? Do I see it through His eyes? God, please reveal this sin. I want to see it through Your eyes. I don't want to just think of it, oh, it's sin. I want to see it the way You do, because if I see it through His eyes, He's going to grant me repentance where I don't want it. God, I wish, how could I do a picture? When we went through these 19 points the other week, did you get victory? Like something that had been, that you thought was you for over 60 years, right? And you had no hope of ever getting rid of this because you couldn't help but see through this marred image and thought everything was negative, everything was pessimistic, everything was whatever the other word was, right? But when Jesus revealed this as we talked and helped you to realize when you would do God, devil, and, you know, pessimism, negativity, and whatever the other, what's the other one, cynical, was present with you. And you said, you mean it's not me? No, it's not me. It's not you. And you go, huh. You mean I could like kick them out of my house and like let Jesus live in those rooms? And I'm like, yeah. And you go, you mean it's not me? No, it's not you. You mean I could live different? You mean I could see different? Did it change? Anybody hung around DBJ and seen a difference? My wife, he comes over. We invite him over almost every night to come eat with us and to watch good color movies that come over on black and white. And I see him in color, dude. You know, black and white's a color. Anyway, and he's just like night and day different. I don't have time. I do have time. But you may not have time, you know. Where I thought we were going to get this week, where I know God wants to get, is I wanted, now pay attention on purpose, serious. God was saying to me this week when I was praying about what He would like to do today, He said, tell Him this. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that is struggling with a sin, something that has a stronghold in your life, you think you could never get rid of it, you think it's beyond you, you're hopeless about it, it overpowers you, but you don't want it in your life. Would you like to get victory today so that you were completely set free and never had that again? I guess not, Lord. Nobody moved. Nobody said anything. They're all content. They're all doing just fine. My thought to you, see, you're not desperate enough. No, I'm serious. I don't think you're desperate enough. I'm not saying it to be funny. I'm saying it because that's what God said. He said, ask people under the sound of your voice, do they have a sin or a stronghold in their life that they would like to get victory over, get delivered from, and never have it in their life again? Is there anybody like that? Because I'm going to walk you through this to help you. This is you. Are you ready? Is there anybody in this room that doesn't need help on something? You've already arrived? Okay. Then we all need help. You ready? Number one, am I willing to see my sin? Just answer. Am I willing to see my sin?
Yes.
Okay. Number two, have I seen this sin through God's eyes? How does He think and feel about this? Lord, I am willing to see this sin. I want you to... Okay, Lord, I am willing to see this sin through Your eyes. I want to see, think, and feel about it the same way You do. I need You to grant me repentance. Is that your prayer? Do you want to pray? Do you need to say something on top of that? I'm going to give you a pause here. Number three. Without Jade, without justifying, arguing, defending, or having to explain, do I admit that this sin is in me? God, I admit this sin is in me. I don't want it, but it's in me. It is controlling my life. It is, I don't want it. It's hurting me. It's destroying me. Number four. Have I recognized and named this my sin? So right now I want you to recognize, ask God to help you recognize and name your sin. One sin. One sin. One. I'm not asking you to, you know, we're not, it's not a shopping cart. And you'll understand after a while, we'll talk about it. When we get to point 18 or something like that. Okay? You'll understand. One sin. What is the predominant thing that's got control, that is hurting you, that's on your mind, that God's dealing with you about? Is it pride? Is it selfishness? Is it control? Is it fear? Unbelief? Doubt? Confusion? Procrastination? That was one I thought of earlier. You name it. Ask God, which one, which sin is it you want to deal with me about right now? Which sin is it I need to get removed and delivered from right now? What sin are you dealing with me in my life about right now? Do you have it? I want you out loud to name it. Maybe it's stubbornness. Maybe it's rebellion. Maybe it's unteachable. Rebellion means not under authority. What is your one sin that God's dealing with you about right now that you want to get delivered from? One. What is it? Name it out loud. God, this sin, and you name it. I don't want it. I see it, and God, it's not of You, and there's no more justifying, arguing, defending, explaining, blame shifting. Oh, it's so-and-so's fault. No, I own my sin, and this is my sin. Rebellion, pride, anger, procrastination. What is it? One. What is it? Tell God, name it to Him right now. God, this is my sin. I recognize it. I name it. I do not want it. Number five, do you realize that you now partner with devilish spirits? Do you realize that this is a spirit that is not you? Anger is a spirit that you are letting live in you. Procrastination is a spirit that you were letting live in you. Fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear is a spirit that you were letting live in you. Intimidation. Unbelief. Carnal minded. pleasure. What is it? Rebellion. Name it. And then, God, I realize that I now partner with that devilish spirit. Say it. God, I realize I now partner with that. And you name the spirit. I now partner with anger. I now partner. That's what I've been doing. I've been partnering with them. I've been letting them live in me. I've been giving them control and license and permission. Number 6. Do you admit that this sin has power over you? God, this sin has power over me. I don't have power over it. It takes me where I don't want to go. It controls me. Number 7. Have you broken agreement with it? God, I don't want this sin. James 4, 7 and 8 is so powerful. If you haven't memorized that, that's part of your homework. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Number 1, you have to choose God. There's no deliverance without truth. There's no deliverance without Jesus. Jesus is truth. Jesus is deliverance. Jesus is Savior. One who delivers another. Have you broken agreement with this sin? I submit to God. I resist the devil. I have let you live in my life. Anger, I've let you live in my life. Procrastination, no more. Now, we're going to go on in that verse as we pray these prayers. I'm going to draw nigh to Him, draw nigh to God. I'm going to draw near to God, and He's going to draw near to me. God plus one's a majority. God's bigger than the boogeyman. Turn the lights on, the roaches have to flee. Do you get it? Have you broken agreement with it? Right now, this is my life choice, God. Number 8, do I admit that I cannot get free by myself? God, I can't get free. I cannot get free by myself. Number 9, is Jesus my only help and hope? Or are you going to try doing it? You're going to try bucking up. You're going to try getting stronger. I'm going to make a determination. But you're not depending on God. You're depending on your flesh. You're depending on your will. It won't work. Is Jesus my only help and hope? I turn to Jesus. Jesus, I need You. I want You. Number 10. Have I asked Jesus for forgiveness for this sin? Expressing my sorrow that Jesus, this sin of mine, caused You. That was the whole motive of You going to the cross, was to pay for this sin. I'm sorry, Jesus. I stripped You naked. I beat You. I had You walk humiliated through a crowd of people jeering at You, throwing things, hitting You, buffeting You. Crammed a crown of thorns. I beat You, Jesus. I threw You down. You were beaten, bloody, beyond recognition, and I threw You down on that cross over this sin. You should have been getting tender, loving care. But look how I treated You, Jesus. I then picked up a big sledgehammer and nailed You to a cross. One hand at a time and then Your feet. And then while You're nailed to this cross, I picked it up with some help of others and I dropped it into a hole. And as that cross plunged into the hole, Your whole body tore as the weight of Your body ripped on those nails. Jesus, I am so sorry. Would You please forgive me? And He looks down and He goes, You're worth it. I did this for You. Father, forgive Spencer. for he doesn't even know what he was doing. But, Father, looking down through time, I now see joy. I see little Joy with Shayla hugging her. And little Joy, it was worth me being on the cross to see Joy coming and being broken over this sin that I already paid for. I've already paid for it. I did it for you. Yes, I forgive you. Yes, I forgive you. Thank you for being sorry. Thank you for caring. I know you didn't know, but you know now, and I'm going to deliver you from this. Number 11. Have I asked Jesus to remove the root of this sin? This is so powerful. Ask Roxanne. Ask Glenn. Ask DBJ. Ask Patty. Ask those in this room that have experienced this. Jesus, I want you to reach down and I want you to grab this root of, and you name the sin. What is it? Worldliness? What is it? Unbelief? What is it? Anger? What is it? Pride? What is it? Control? What is it? Self-will? Grab it by the neck, Jesus. Can you see that big, thick root? It's down inside of you. Jesus, I'm asking you to grab that big, thick root by the neck. And with your little pinky, reach over and grab the seed. And Jesus, please pull that root with all its root system, its feeder root, to go down into my legs and throughout my body and affect my entire life. All this time I thought it was me. But when I would do God, the devil was present. It's not me. It's the devil that deceived me. And Jesus, I'm asking you to remove this root, the tap root, the seed, and all the feeder roots connected. Here's one for you. That Jesus, as hand over hand, you're pulling these roots out of me, this whole root system, because it's a whole root system. Now I have a deep V inside of me where that root was. Jesus, I've confessed my sin. And you said, 1 John 1:9, if I would confess, agree with you about my sin, it's wicked. It nailed you to the cross. It's an offense to God. It is anti-God. And if I would confess my sin, you faithfully would pour your blood into this deep V of my life, and you would pour in blood to forgive me. Your blood forgives my sin because it's paying for it in full. And your blood is pouring into my life to cleanse me, to remove all its effect, to continually work in me. And Jesus, when you're pouring in your blood, your life, I want your life inside of me. Please top it off so that I am completely full of you and nothing else could even rest. If it was a little marble, there would be no indentation in that place where even any little marble of sin or thought of it could even rest in that place. But it would be topped off with your life because I only want Jesus to live in me. Number 12 was, do I want Jesus to pour His blood inside of me? Is that what you want? Jesus, I bring myself under Your blood. I want You to pour Your blood inside of me in this deep V where that root of whatever it was, anger, pride, selfishness, worldliness. I want You to pour in Your blood because I only want You to live in me. Did you do that? Now, did you thank Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what You did for me. Thank you for what You made available for me. Thank you. I don't even understand everything about justification and sanctification and all that. I just thank You so much that You loved me so much that in the midst of all of this, you would remove it. You already died to pay for every sin. Thank you, Jesus, that I could be free. Thank you, Jesus, that your name is free, means freedom. Thank you, Jesus. Now, have you committed it unto God? God, I'm committing this unto you. I'm committing my change. I'm committing my deliverance. I'm not going to think about it except you bring it up. It's not me trying to be better. I'm asking you to deliver me. I'm asking you to change me. I'm asking you. I'm trusting in you and committing it to you to change me, to completely deliver me. Did you do that? It's not on you. Do you understand? There's nothing you can do except make a choice. And you bring it to God humbly and say, God, I can't deal with this. And He says, I know, but I can. I've just been waiting for you to give it to me. I'm going to stomp on that something fierce. I'm going to have me a heyday. I'm going to dance on that sin. You understand? He gets victory and He does the victory dance for us on top of that sin. You understand? Under my feet, Satan is under my feet. Get it? Number 15. Have I broken agreement with hiding and covering my sin? God, right now, I break agreement with hiding and covering my sin. I'm going to bring it out in the open and just say, I've given it to Jesus. I've already gotten forgiveness. Jesus has removed the root. He's poured in His blood of forgiveness and cleansing. And He said, I'm going to deal with it thoroughly and get rid of the whole root system and even the effect of it. You won't even be able to smell it anymore when I'm done. Now, number 16, have I confessed before others? When you do that, that's where the public confession brings public power. When you get up and you're willing. See, when you sit in your seat and you're not willing, you're still hiding. You're still worried about what everybody thinks instead of worrying about what God thinks. I'm not trying to bless you. I want to bless Him. Do you understand? I'm going to bless Him by getting up and telling everybody. And when you do, it sets others free. So God, I'm willing to confess before others. Is that your prayer? God, I'm willing to confess before others. You didn't go get crucified in a corner. You didn't get go crucified in a bathroom. You did it right in front of God and everybody. You did it up on a hill. Well, God, I want to be just like you, Jesus. I'm going to confess before others. Now, have you realized that there are layers? You see, when we sinned, like if a guy was in lust and a guy enjoyed times of lust. Are you listening? Hey, it's not time for the kids to come in right yet. Just, I want to say this one before they come in, okay? All right, listen to me because I need to do this one. Okay, listen. If a guy was in lust, or a girl, and there was times that we enjoyed the thought, the action, the visual on a movie, the words on a telephone of lust. If there was a time we enjoyed a sin or part of it, God will bring it back up to us over time so that we will repent of it because God is wanting to get the whole, all of it out of us, the whole root system, the whole influence. That's why the title of this, Victorious and Thorough Deliverance from Sin. You got to get rid of the whole smell of it, the whole influence of it in your life. So God forgives you now, cleanses you right now, removes the root system, and then He says, now I'm going to take you back into your past, and God's going to do it. You don't do it. If you do it, you're going to mess yourself up. You just keep thanking God and saying, God, I'm committing this to you. I'm trusting in you. It is finished. You already took care of it. Thank you, Jesus. Now, but Jesus, this is a little microwave prayer of, just cover everything. I want it to be completely gone. So I'm giving you permission to come and deal with every layer. That's where he takes the Word of God, Ephesians 6:17, the sword of the Spirit, and he begins to cut through the jungle of beliefs, experiences, thoughts, influences, and he begins to cut through them with the Word of God. That's why you got to spend time in the Word. It's the tool of the Holy Spirit of Jesus in you. And he's going to cut through all those jungle of lies and beliefs and experiences of sin. Do you understand? And as he brings them to the surface, you may even find yourself reliving and enjoying that sin, that experience. And then all of a sudden it's going to hit you what you're doing. I'm telling you because I've gone through this many times. And it will be a quick process if you cooperate and tell him, God, I am so sorry I did that. God, I want to see that through your eyes. God, I want to feel about that the way you do. That's all you have to tell him. All you have to do is cooperate. God will do the work. He will deliver you. He will change your heart. He will do everything. All you have to do is keep telling him that's what you want. Keep agreeing with him and break an agreement. As soon as you see the sin, if you ever get this one time, you are like, just can't wait to see your next sin. Instead of being ashamed, instead of walking around like little mopeds, you know. Why would somebody want to ride something called a moped? Okay, anyway. Never thought of it until I just said it. So realize there are layers. Now, God, I want your mind and your heart about this. That's it. It is so simple. And it's all about Jesus. You cannot do it. He wants to do it for you. But you get to choose. Do you remember Romans 6:16? Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey? I want you to think about this, man. Nope. Let this mind be in me which was also in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. And I don't mean a lovely shape, okay? Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Do you get it? The Word of God is there. And He will do it. Anger. I don't want anger. And God, I am bringing this myself under your blood. I'm asking you to remove that whole root of anger, the whole feeder root system throughout my whole life. I'm asking you to go back and get the seed where that anger first came in me, where I allowed it in me. Now, do you think this is too big of a job for Jesus? Do we need to go find somebody else? Oh, okay. I mean, who are we going to get? Oscar Mayer, the Wiener Man? You know? I mean, Jesus is the only one who can do it. He's like, let me give you a clue. My name means deliverance. You got a clue? Okay. I'm telling you, Jesus is just so cool. He always puts the cookies on the bottom shelf. You get it. And he says, now, don't beat yourself up. Just keep, go through this process. This week, in your homework, I want you to go through those words one at a time. You know, you're going to read the verses every day, right? Right? You're going to read the verses every day. Even if we don't make our three chapters, you still can do three chapters, but you don't have to. If you do these verses every day, it's going to mess with you enough. Okay? You're going to feel like sliced ham. Hampton, sliced ham. Okay? And you are going to find he's going to deliver you from the root of this sin. If you cut off, if you remove the root, there's no more fruit. What's it going to grow from? But he wants to deal with it thoroughly. Right, Roxanne? He wants to deal with it thoroughly. That's why you got to go through these steps. In the beginning, it's slow. But dude, I can go through this like in a minute. All 19 steps in a minute. Because I own it. I got it. And when you own it, and you start getting them out of you, you're going to find yourself completely different. You'll think different. You'll see different. I love you. You will find it. We'll talk. You talk to me afterwards, okay? Okay? Yes. There should be a list of them back there. Rick, would you go get her a copy of those 19 steps, please? See, I don't have time to go through this today. Anybody else? Anybody got anything to say? We're done. Okay, hang on. What verse did I say in Ephesians, Lord? I don't remember a verse in Ephesians. What were we talking about? If you tell me what I was talking about, I can tell you. Give me a subject. Layers, layers, 17 and 18. Hang on a second. Dear Holy Spirit, bring it to my mind. I don't know what she's talking about. Layers. I'm sorry. Just give God a little time. I must have a block. I don't know. Does this help anybody? Folks, I am not kidding you. You get this. You don't even have to listen for the next month or so when I say I got a key if you don't want to. You get this. I promise you. Will it revolutionize your life, Roxanne? Will it revolutionize your life? Will it revolutionize your life? Anybody that's done this, it will revolutionize your life. I am not even kidding you. Like you got to have this. I don't even know how you can be a Christian and go anywhere without this. And there's so much I'd like to teach you on it. But it's so simple, but there's so much behind the scenes. What this is going to do, it's going to not only set you free from sin, not only are you going to see and think and feel different, and not only are you going to have victory, but the biggest thing you're going to get, see, you think you love Jesus now? You don't even know what it is to love Jesus until you go, when you get victory, you get one of these, one time, you go through this, and you get deliverance, one time, and you will find yourself a loving and appreciating Jesus like you never have. You will just, I'm sorry, we should serve a warning. Holy Surgeon General, the Holy Spirit says, if you do this, you're going to get addicted to God. Just warning you, you'll never be able to go back. You can't go back to being normal. You can't go back to being a Christian. Do you understand? You are going to get so set free. You are going to be so in love with Jesus. Anybody that this happened for them, am I lying or am I understating? Serious, I'm telling you. And see, this is what is on the cutting edge of what God's doing here, right now. Dude, you want to get in on it. This is what God's doing right here, right now. Don't miss it. As they used to say in the TV shows years ago, stay tuned for the next exciting episode. I'm serious. You don't want to miss this. You miss this, you miss it all. Okay? Anybody have anything to say? I know Smurf does, but does anybody else have anything to say?
It was like a metal detector, but it was a trash collector of all our stinking thinking. And as we walked through it, it was like this big pile of trash. And all of a sudden, here come these trash trucks and started loading it out of the front yard of everybody. And then he had to call for a second one, and they took it to an incinerator and burned it. And we have to realize that we need to get prepared, not only daily, but especially before we come here. to get what we need to get.
Y'all don't even know. I'm about to bust. I am not even kidding you. If you only knew what was coming, you would be running into this. You see, when you're faithful in little, He'll make you ruler over much. When you're faithful in your little life, He'll make you ruler over the whole place where you work, the whole place where you live, Patty. You have something to say?
Well, the evil spirits that have been dealing with me is for the past few weeks was fear, self-focus, disobeying, and doubt. But my mom has been helping me to get against those fears, as in God's weapons, 2 Timothy 1:7, and Romans 7:21, and Ephesians 6:1, and Philippians 4:13. They all have good things to go against doubt, disobeying, self-focus, and fear.
Do you know the verses?
2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Romans 7:21. For when I do good, evil is present with me. Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Do you little guys think y'all could get it? Do you see what I'm saying? Don't you wish you would have been raised like that?
Yes.
See, I didn't even meet Jesus till I was 20. And all these people that told me about Him, remember I told you I was baptized by 6 different denominations? Come join our glee club. Come keep a list of rules. I'm sorry. That's not Jesus. I needed Jesus. Do you understand? You need Jesus, little Joy. You need Jesus, little Lloyd. You need Jesus, little Dave. Do you understand? This is very practical. I don't want to hear you, students, come back next week and tell me you didn't do your homework. It's not even an option. 19 points. We're going to read the verses every day. Number 2, we're going to start going through the points. Am I willing? And you name the sin. One sin, whatever it is. What are you struggling with? You see, Jesus is bigger than what you're struggling with. You think you can't, you'll never get victory. Dude, you just don't even know. When this hits, I ain't even going to be able to keep y'all settled down. I won't ever even be able to get to talk again. I'm serious. You're just going to be busting. God is just going to be just bazookaing, or whatever the word is, you know, like a bazooka. He's going to just be coming like a bazooka out of you. You're just going to be like just busting with God. Do you hear what that little guy had in him? And he's 7 years old, for crying out loud. And we're just getting it? Wow. There's hope. You see, it's the same truth. And you know what? But we're going to do something different here, right, Carson? We're going to do something different. We're not going to let that. The buck stops right here. From now on, we're going to deal with truth, right? Anybody got anything to say? I just want you to know, you honor me every time I see you. You bless me. You honor me. When you call me, when you talk to me, sometimes I don't have time to talk to you when you call on the phone. Please forgive me. But you honor me. Every time I see you, every time I think of you, I am like excited. I pray for you. I am thrilled. I'm just so glad we're in this thing together. What I like is no matter what we go through or what, in the end, we win. It's just like, you know, somebody wants to threaten your life. It's like, I love that verse, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. What are you trying to do? Threaten me with Jesus? Go ahead, send me there. I can't hardly wait. I can't lose. No, I'll just challenge you. I'll challenge you by letting you ask some other people in this room, like Patty or Spencer or Gary or Jason or Nate, about why does God put authority in our life? And what are we supposed to do with that? When I feel led? See, you have felt lead poisoning. Okay? You don't need to feel led. I know you didn't. Other people did. You don't have to feel led to do the homework. You need to obey authority. God puts authority in your life. It's not an option. And I'm not here to run your life or rule your life. I say what God wants me to say. And then if you don't do it, you're choosing. But you got to realize when you stand before God and He says, you say, I didn't know. And He's going to say, I put Harvey in your face. You couldn't have got it more clear. You know? He said, you made a choice to not do it. So that's called rebellion, which is the opposite of obedience or being submissive to authority. Okay? Just thought to think on that. You ask Patty. You ask these other three. You ask Nate. Other people in here, not just them. Ask Glenn. Yeah, ask Mr. Rebel, you know. Ask him, the guy, you know, do it my way or the highway. You know, I'll run the world. Why don't they give me control? I can do it all. Okay, ask him about authority and submission, okay? Just ask him. I dare you. You probably won't because you're afraid what you're going to hear. But if you want truth, I dare you to go ask one. I'm serious. It'll help you. No, it's not whatever. It's truth, okay? If you refuse to obey in the little things, you won't obey in the big things. And if you're not faithful in little, and you can't ever be made a leader if you don't learn to follow. Yes, sir.
I was reading Revelation a couple of weeks ago, a month ago, and I can't remember where it was. I wrote it down. I was memorizing the verse, but it said, "And these made war with the Lamb." It said that He is the King of kings and Lord of lords, and those that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful. And it's just like, wow, there it is. Like,
I think that's 19. Either 16 or 19. Yes? That's right. Because God doesn't give us perfect leaders. He gives us human leaders. What? And He gives us the principles. And see, God ordains authority. He says, I am the ultimate authority. Now I'm going to ordain authority, or authority is of me. And then He's going to establish authority by putting people there. And then He puts people, the Lord has set the members in the body as it hath pleased Him. He puts you where He wants you. You don't get to choose where you tried for a while, it didn't work. Okay? And then when you went where God opened the door, and then you were like came here for a few months when you first came and said, I don't even believe in all this stuff. I don't believe in speaking in tongues and falling down. But now I love the Bible again, and now I love God again, and now I'm walking with God again, and I don't even understand it. I don't understand y'all, but see, because this is where God wanted you. Okay? So if God puts you in a place, it's like when you were in the army, you didn't like that sergeant, you know, yelling at you, but you were taught to obey. Immediate obedience, doing what you're told, when you're told, with the right attitude. Right? Right? See? The 7-year-old got it. Thank you, Jesus, that you don't ever give up on us. Thank you. We want to ask you to forgive us that we've all been rebels. Every one of us. Every time I even say it to somebody, it's not that I'm straightening them out. I'm reminding myself. And Lord, even when I don't have somebody over me, I make myself submissive because I realize the principle and how there's a safety and wisdom in the multitude of counselors. And I need to be accountable because I have blind spots and I miss it a lot. And I'm just so glad that you keep those principles in front of us and we don't get to fail. We just get to keep repeating until we get it. And you just keep loving us until then, waiting for that day when it breaks open. Jesus, thank you for blessing me with these folks. And Jesus, this week, help each one of us to not put it off, but to do our homework, to read these 19 points, to pray these, to read these verses. Lord, I am so looking forward. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for where you've brought us. Amen.